I'm in a much better mood than I was last week, which is good. Shout out to increasing my medication. Shout out to Dr. Smith. That's actually his name, and I didn't want to say it because, like, but the fact that his surname is Smith is like, I don't think I'm going to dox myself. There's going to be about a million of them. So thank you, Dr. Smith. Thank you for giving me more antidepressants. So now I don't want to die. But yeah, I'm a lot happier this week and my anxiety is a lot less bad. I'm feeling a lot more positive about going to uni, which is good. I got sent like a bunch of advice by people both on Tumblr and on Instagram, and if you sent me any, I just want to say thank you. It was very, very helpful. Everyone was lovely and yeah, really, really, really helpful. I can't say any word other than helpful, apparently. No thoughts, head empty. Tragic, isn't it? But despite not having any brain cells, I have been reading this week. I read every week. What the fuck? I've been reading quite a lot this week. I finished Faces in the Crowd, which I was raving about last week, and oh my god, it was so fucking good. I loved it. The it kind of becomes dual perspective in the second half, because, well, it already had multiple perspectives, but you'd only hear from one character at the beginning, right? It was just a woman, but she was just talking about her current life and then her life in the past. But towards the end, in the second half, the narrative kind of got gradually overtaken by this obscure poet that she is obsessed with, and I just loved it. Oh my god, it was so well written. And then I went on to Goodreads. This is what I do after I read a book I love. I go on to Goodreads, I look at the one star reviews, and I get mad at them. I'm like, god, you just don't get it. You don't get the genius. And people are like, oh, I couldn't even get through 20 pages. It was so boring. And I'm like, you don't have any taste. You do not have any taste if you say that book was boring and you give it a one star. I'm sorry, I can understand if you give it like 3 stars. I can even understand giving it 2 stars if it's just not your thing. But giving it a 1 star and just writing off being like, boring. I hate you. I hate you. But I found out something really, really exciting. I feel guilty. I always talk about feeling guilty for buying off Amazon, and it makes it sound like I buy off Amazon all the time. But I literally just had a gift card, which I mentioned. But Amazon, when I was buying Face in the Crowd, is because it was recommended to me based on another book that I put in my basket. And I didn't realise, but the book was by the same woman who wrote Faces in the Crowd. And this book is called The Lost Children Archive. It is about America and the whole ICE situation. I think I briefly mentioned Lost Children Archive, actually, a few episodes ago. But yes, yeah, by the same person who wrote Faces in the Crowd. So I'm really, really, really excited to read that now. But I haven't started it yet because I'm kind of saving it as a treat. Maybe for when I start uni, because I know I'm going to be stressed, so I can have a book that's going to be amazing to look forward to. But yeah, it's really, really good. I'm very excited about the stuff I'm going to be reading in the future. This week, I've mostly been reading The History of Bees, and it's a fun time. It's been a while since I've read a book that's more just plot driven, and it's not like too deep. It's tri-perspective, so you don't get too much of each person. Like, it's essentially 3 tiny books rolled into one and like spread out over the course of a full novel, and I think they link at the end, but right now they're all separate characters in separate timelines, different countries even. And yeah, they are just sort of linked by bees being a central theme. There is a woman named Tao who lives in China in 2098, in a future where bees have all, they've been extinct for a while, and people have to climb into the trees and literally pollinate them by hand. And it's really, really interesting. And they have to work like loads. And it's basically her son goes missing. He's in the hospital, and then they're like, we sent him to Beijing. And I pronounce that so stupidly, Beijing. They sent him to Beijing, and they were like, just wait, we'll like, we'll call you when we know. And they're like waiting at home, like, are you going to tell us where our son is yet? And they don't tell them where their son is. And I'm not going to say anymore because spoilers, but like, yeah, R.I.P. to Tao. Why am I laughing? This is mean. It's sad. It is sad. It's quite good. Yes. It also, a primary focus of the book is parent-child relationships. Each character sort of, I guess, central to the conflict is their relationship with their children. So then you have William, who's in like 1850, and he was really, really depressed for a while, but then he kind of becomes undepressed really suddenly, which is something I took a bit of issue with because it doesn't work like that. But he was motivated to start working on this hive technology because of his son, and he was like, I want to make my son proud, and my other children are girls, so I don't really care about them. If this book was written by a man, I'd be like, this is pretty sus, but it's written by a woman, so it's okay. And him not really giving a shit about the girls is presented as stupid, so good. And you also have a man called George, who is a bee farmer in 2007, and he wants his son to take over the bee farm. But his son's like, I want to be a writer. That's my favourite thing about books, actually, because obviously books are written by writers. So you always have a character who wants to be a writer, which is brilliant, because it's always like, woo, those are my people. Like, you never, well, you do sometimes, but it's a lot more rare to get a character who wants to be like a carpenter or a professional swimmer, but there's always going to be a character who wants to be a writer, which I do stan. Shout out to books for making me see so much of myself in the characters. But yeah, it's kind of odd reading a book that's plot driven for once. It is focused on characters, but I think there's kind of a plot. And there's like, at the end of every section, there's like a little bit of like a cliffhanger to try and like keep you engaged and hooked in the story. And I'm like, I'm not used to this. Because I'm just used to long, drawn-out character studies, which I really, really like. But, yeah, it's kind of refreshing having something else and having a cliffhanger happen to me for the first time in, like, 2 years. So, shout-out to the History of Bees for providing that for me. I also started reading yesterday Hot Milk, and I'm about 20 pages in. It's not very long, it's only about 200 pages, and I like it so far. I think I'll enjoy it. It's taking a while to get into it. The prose style is really, really cool though. I really like it. It's written very well, and there's already been some moments where it's like, ooh, that kind of hit me, you know. There was a line where it said that the main character's mother, she has this issue of her legs and she doesn't know what's wrong with them, but sometimes she can't walk, but sometimes she can. And so they go to Spain to find this doctor who can maybe actually figure out what's wrong with them. And the narrator says that at this point her mother is living off of painkillers and human kindness. And I'm like, well, she's depending on painkillers and human kindness. And I highlighted that line because I was like, that's a good line. There was also another part where the narrator has to walk her mother into the hospital, and she says, like, I kind of, I think the quote's like, I limp along with her. I make myself limp so I can keep up with her. Her legs are my legs. And I was like, that's a good line. I can already tell it's going to be good with like mother-daughter relationships, which I stan. I find that so interesting in novels. Yeah, I stan that. Kind of unrelated, but I mean vaguely to do with books. I'm writing this week. I've been writing quite a lot. And quite a lot by my standards is like I've written 500 words. But actually, I've written a bit more than 500 words. I think I've written maybe 1,500 words or so in the past like 2 days, which is insane for me. It's more than I've written in months. I'm like proud of that. And I'm really, really enjoying it. It's a dark academia story set in the 70s in an all-girls school. It's like these girls, like, after the suicide of one of their classmates, they set up a society where I'm thinking they're gonna, like, talk about maybe books. And I'm planning a line where, like, one of the main characters, she's like really intense and like a leader, and she's like, we're gonna do this and it's gonna be like groundbreaking, and then the narrator's like, you want to make a book club? And she like gets really, really pissed at her, so that's gonna be fun. She's like, no, it's gonna be really good, but it kind of is a book club. It's like a book club mixed with whatever was going on with the Greek class in the secret history. Like, they kind of say it's about books, and they do talk about books, but it's going to be more just all-girls school things, like intense friendships and romances and violence and infighting and power plays and all this stuff. I think since lockdown started, because the school year obviously ended early, and this is actually my last year in school since I start uni this year. And after school ended, I actually, because I've had this idea in my head for almost 2 years now. Like, I wrote the first bit of it in November 2018. And the reason why I have like 5,500 words at the moment, and the reason why I have so few is because I have restarted the whole thing about 5 times now, but I think this is the final part. Like, I'm happy with how it is at the moment, thank God. But because lockdown started and I no longer go to school, I felt so motivated to write for a while, and it was really, really good. And this book, I think I couldn't write it for so long because it's so heavily based on going to an all-girls school and how horrible it is at an all-girls school. And I think I needed some distance to be able to write about it. Like, it's too painful writing about that environment while still being submerged in it. I kind of needed to have healed. It sounds so dramatic, but all-girls schools are horrible. I needed to get over that and kind of be able to look at my time there more objectively, so that I could write a better and more compelling narrative. If you didn't go to an all-girls school, you're probably like, what are you talking about? You're so dramatic. But if you went to an all-girls school, you know what I mean. Like, you know what I mean. It's horrible, especially when you're like in year 10, which for people who aren't English, that's like when you're like 14, 15. That's the worst. People that age, they don't have feelings. They don't give a shit about you. They're like, haha, I told this girl in my class that I think she's really funny, even though her voice is disgusting, because I know that she's really self-conscious about her voice. Like, that's all girls schools. And then everyone like laughs. I did my fair share of like horrible mean things, but I'm a better person now. I literally, after leaving, I am having to consciously change how I think, because I used to be so judgmental and so horrible, because that was kind of encouraged in the environment I existed in. It was awful. I hated it. But also at the time I kind of enjoyed it because like I was conditioned to think being horrible was funny and cool, but now I'm like, no. And I'm having to like make myself think people are generally good, people are generally nice, people at your school are generally good and nice as well. You were all just mixed together in a horrific environment and were made to think that being the worst version of yourself possible was what would make your life the best. This has gone off on a massive tangent. I'm sorry. I didn't really have much more to say about books. So I was like, all right, I'll talk about my work in progress. And then it just became me ranting about how horrible girls' schools are for 5 minutes. Sorry. Just, if you know, you know. I'm trying to think of other stuff to talk about. What else have I been reading? I know I've read more stuff. Did I? No, because I finished White Teeth last week. I read Face in the Crowd. I guess I don't. Yeah, Face in the Crowd, The History of Bees, and Hot Milk. Oh, I also went out to the charity shops again and did not find anything. R.I.P. to me. I did see 50 Shades of Grey, and I was like, God. I was amazed because I didn't actually have the sequel, and I was like, if they'd had the sequel, I really think I would have bought it and read it and ranted about it in this podcast, because that would have been really exciting, but already funny. But they didn't. Amazing. I think that's the first time I've ever gone to a charity shop and not seen every single installment of the 50 Shades of Grey franchise. I guess, well done, Oxfam, for that. I guess. I actually went in and I saw a book that looked good and it had been shortlisted for the Booker Prize. And I was like, okay, this is going to be objectively a good book then. It's called The Milkman. I read the blurb and I thought, okay, this sounds kind of interesting. And I opened it and I didn't like the font, so I didn't buy it. Does anyone else do that? Like, the book's font matters so much to me. And I just knew, since the blurb didn't exactly grab me, like, even though the book would be good, I knew it wasn't, it didn't instantly make me think, oh, I will love that. And then when you open it and you're like, don't like the font, and you just know you'll read like 20 pages and then never actually finish it because you don't like the font. Does anyone else actually do that, or am I just stupid? I think I'm just stupid. I'm gonna stop talking now because I think that's honestly about all I can say that's at least vaguely related to books. I'm sorry, this episode was more rambly than usual, but I have been reading, I promise. I've just been reading fewer things because I finished two books. Or no, I finished like three books last week, so it's like I haven't started reading too many things. So because I usually read like 10 things at a time, but I'm literally only reading 3 books at the moment, so I have less to talk about. Oh my god, a Super Hulog blog just popped up. Wow, can you imagine? No offense if you're a Super Hulog blog. A who? A blog. A Super Hulog blog, no offense. Anyway, I need to go. I actually need to check if there's a cat outside. Basically, there's this cat who we've low-key adopted. She belongs to next door. And we call her Poe, which is a really good name and suits her. And I overheard her owners, like, calling out for her this morning. We haven't stolen her. Like, she wasn't in our house. We hadn't, like, kidnapped her. She was just out wandering somewhere else. And I found out what her real name is, and it's Coco. And I'm like, that's so basic, because she's a tortoise shell and she's kind of like dark brown with sort of like some more beige-ish spots. And I'm like, no wonder she's running away if you give your cat such a basic name. Like, you don't deserve this cat. This cat's so cute. She started drinking out the tap. She loves it. Oh my god, I keep going on tangents. I'm sorry, I've been trying to wrap up this episode for like the past 3 minutes. I will go and check for Coco. AKA Poe. That's her real name. That's an actually good name. And I will end this here. I hope you enjoyed listening to me talk nonsensically for 20 minutes. I'm, again, sorry about how stupid this episode was. I will see you, talk to you. That happens every week, I swear. But I will talk to you next week.